Economicsense.com.
This is the morning brief from the Economic Times, produced in collaboration with Awaaz.com.
Hospitals bursting at the seams, beds unavailable, doctors overworked, and life-saving drugs running out. As the caseload increases, focus back on India's crumbling health infrastructure.
The second wave of the COVID-19 pandemic in the country has hit us all hard. As news of increasing cases, reports of vaccine shortages, and lockdown seem to be creating an environment of gloom and doom, a ray of hope appeared on the horizon. On Tuesday, India granted emergency use authorization to COVID-19 vaccines that have received similar approvals in the US, UK, Europe, and Japan. A wider basket of vaccines has boosted the prospect of a significant increase in availability of the vaccine. Pfizer and Moderna have been specifically invited to get immediate approval for such use in India. India has so far administered more than 110 million doses with two vaccines. Serum Institute of India's Covishield, which is based on AstraZeneca's and Oxford University's technology, and Bharat Biotech's homegrown Covaxin. The Russian vaccine Sputnik V got approval earlier this week. So are we there yet? There where every Indian can have access to vaccination? What are the challenges and what's the road ahead? In this episode, we will find out all this and more. From the Economic Times, I'm Rachita Prasad and you are listening to The Morning Brief. With us today are two prolific journalists from the Economic Times who have been on top of the news coverage on COVID-19. We have Tina Thakur, who writes on the pharmaceutical industry and has been closely tracking the developments around vaccines across the world. Our second guest is Nidhi Sharma. Nidhi has been monitoring the government's initiatives for controlling the spread of COVID-19 and the vaccination drive. With their ear to the ground, both Tina and Nidhi have broken some very important stories on the matter. Welcome to the podcast, Nidhi and Tina.
Hi. Thank you, Rachita.
Let's get down to the basics. Tina, when we are talking about the authorization that the government has just announced, which are the new vaccines which can now be used in India? And what do we know about their efficacy and what's their track record been so far?
So this means that India may give approval to Pfizer, Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. Pfizer, as we all know, this became the first COVID-19 vaccine to receive FDA EUA after the company reported positive clinical trial data, which included news that the vaccine was up to 95% more effective than the placebo. But the Pfizer vaccine has had strict requirements involving how the vaccine is stored. For instance, it has required shipping in ultra-cold temperature control units, which is minus 94 degree Fahrenheit. Then we have Moderna vaccine, which was the second one authorized for emergency use in the U.S. It received FDA EUA on December 18, 2020, about a week after Pfizer got approval. Moderna is also an mRNA vaccine using the same technology as Pfizer, and one with the similarity of high efficacy at preventing symptomatic disease. There are two key differences between Pfizer and Moderna. The Moderna vaccine can be shipped and kept in long-term storage and standard freezer temperatures and stored for up to 30 days using normal refrigeration, making it easier to distribute and store. Also, Moderna vaccine was slightly less effective in clinical trials, about 86% in people who are 65 and older. Then we have Johnson & Johnson, which on February 27, 2021, the FDA granted emergency use approval for this type of vaccine called a carrier or virus vector vaccine. But in April, the CDC and FDA issued a joint recommendation for states to halt use of Johnson & Johnson vaccine out of an abundance of caution during an investigation into reports of 6 rare but serious clotting problems among women. So we have these 3 vaccines which we may see India giving approval to.
That's interesting. Nidhi, I would like to get you in at this point. The opposition has been asking for emergency approval for all vaccines for a while now, which was even dismissed by some of the members of the ruling party. Then what has changed now? Why now?
So what has changed now, Rachita, is really that the number of cases are increasing. They're actually spiraling out of control in a lot of states. And what is really like, we are witnessing a second wave. So that urgency of getting vaccination, you know, the entire exercise adds, you know, there's an urgency added to it. Now, since more and more states are demanding a more number of vaccines and also, you know, expanding the exercise. Now, this age-appropriate vaccination has been taken forward by the center. Now, with the growing caseloads, we have that much, you know, supply of vaccines. So the urgency right now has actually made the government open up its approval process. So the increasing caseloads really, and also the demand from states. This shortage, which is being termed as a supply issue by the states, but the center has been saying that it's a planning issue, is really, you know, there is limited supply of vaccines. If we increase our vaccine basket, you know, people will have more choice, and obviously we will have more vaccines. So this is what has really pushed the government in opening up and expanding its vaccine basket.
That explains the urgency in this decision. Tina, India, while allowing the COVID-19 vaccines that have been developed and granted emergency use approval in the other countries, has decided to go ahead without bridging clinical trials. Now, what are the risks involved in this from a medical point of view? Because we have been hearing about cases of vaccines resulting in blood clots, like you earlier mentioned. So as people who would be taking these vaccines, should we be concerned about something?
So conventionally, bridging studies have been mandated for vaccines and drugs to study population-specific variations in safety and efficacy. However, in a pandemic situation, credible evidence examined by reliable regulatory agencies in other countries should be accepted to fast-track approvals. It is important to remember that these approvals are granted as an emergency effort to counter the surge. Therefore, Indian regulators have decided to go with the vaccines already approved by reputed regulatory agencies in US and Europe. As for assessment of risk, the vaccine will undergo post-approval bridging studies, meaning that people getting the vaccines will be closely monitored for any adverse event.
So does that mean that so the new vaccines will not take off right away? It will be a slow rollout?
So we can say that it will be a slow rollout or something. There are a lot of factors that we'll have to pan out, and we have to see which includes the pricing, which includes, you know, these vaccines. Obviously, they have already have tied up with other countries, so they have their supply issues already going on. So we have to see. There are a lot of things which we'll see in coming days. It's not clear yet.
That makes sense, Tina. But with the rollout of new vaccinations, what challenges could we face in terms of logistics, storage, medical infrastructure? Give us a sense on that.
So we can assume that, you know, these relaxations in approval process for vaccines may generate interest from, to start with, Moderna and Pfizer. Pfizer had already applied, but they had to withdraw their application because of the same problem of conducting bridging studies. But remember that these vaccines are based on high technology, and specifically the Pfizer vaccine needs an extreme cold temperature supply chain. So that will pose a major challenge. But Pfizer has also said many times before that it has made the right arrangements to keep the stability of the vaccines intact. So we'll have to see. We have also got statement from Pfizer which says that they will be in touch with the regulator very soon. So let's see how it pans out.
Here is what VK Paul, member health at Niti Aayog, said at the press briefing on Tuesday.
This therefore compresses the timelines, and this is a very liberal regulatory step that will increase the access to vaccines that are manufactured in other countries.
Niti, as far as the challenges are concerned, what are you hearing from the government? I mean, what could be the issues that the government will have to deal with while rolling out the new vaccines?
So, Rachita, the challenges would be many. One would be, you know, the companies are already supplying to other countries. And at the given point, everybody has either pre-booked or they are facing a shortage, because there are supply constraints with all companies which are already overbooked in a way, supplying to other countries.
Now, one is, would the companies be able to forge tie-ups with local manufacturers here and be able to, tide over all the approvals and supply vaccines to us? One is this. Second is going to be a major issue will be pricing. As we saw in the initial part of our vaccination drive, that both Serum and Bharat Biotech, there were very animated discussions with the government, very intensive in discussions with the government as to the pricing. And till date, as the Serum Institute has maintained that, these are expensive vaccines that they have manufactured, and they are already giving it to India at a very subsidized rate. So pricing would be a challenge. So would the government be, talking to each one of the private manufacturers, the companies, and the pricing would be specific to the brand? How will they then push it in the public immunization drive as differently priced vaccines? Would that be possible? Because logistically, that would be a nightmare that, if I walk into a private facility and when the standard cap is 150 for the vaccine and 100 rupees for the administration charges, would that be possible that, if a person says, okay, no, you will get Sputnik, so, or you will get J&J vaccine, so it will be priced at a little higher because it was more expensive for us. So I mean, going by the previous experience, I don't think the government would have differential pricing for different jabs. So would the private companies be comfortable in coming to India at, at 150 rupees a dose kind of a price? So that is the major issue. That is the major challenge. Also, at the same time, if you see, there will be some vaccine, there could be, I'm not saying there will be, but there could be some kind of vaccine hesitancy when people get to know that, no, there have been no bridging trials for these vaccines. And they are definitely different from the approval process that the first two vaccines went through. So these could be the challenges that we face in the coming months.
Very relevant points there, Nidhi. Talking about the pricing, has the government given any indication of how much could they cost or whether they will subsidize the vaccine for people? Is there any statement on that from the government?
No, nothing so far, because they will now wait for the companies to come forward. And, as we all know that Sputnik has already tided over the approval process. But now we're going to wait and see what all companies come forward. How much are the vaccines priced at? What is it? So they will be a lot of to and fro. And that's when we'll get to know. We'll see what the government says then.
Tina, what are you hearing from the companies themselves? Because you are in touch with most of these companies. What is their take on the pricing in the Indian market?
So, as of now, there is no clarity on the pricing agreed. The negotiations have just started with Dr. Reddy's as it got recently approved. So these vaccines, the Sputnik vaccine is sold at a range of $10 per dose.
Significantly higher than the vaccines that we're getting right
and
now,
we have
right?
No clarity on what pricing is discussed for supplies in India. Also, we must know that the initial batches are imported from Russia, and maybe the pricing will iron out or ease out in later days when Sputnik will be made by six producers which have already agreed to locally make it. So we'll just have to see how it pans out. As of now, we just know that the government says that it would be affordable.
What about the supply side of it, Tina? Because Pfizer and Moderna have not been able to meet their supply obligations to many countries already. So will they be able to supply to India? Would India be able to secure enough vaccines to vaccinate the entire population?
That's what we have to see, Rachita. It's not that easy. In fact, there are global commitments of companies like, Moderna, Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson. And the prospect of pricing negotiation with Indian government means that it won't come that easy. So we'll have to see how it pans out. It's not that easy for these companies also to, to come to India. So we'll see in coming days how government has given this enabling regulatory provision to enable those foreign-made vaccines which have been approved by credible foreign regulators. But the precondition of having a bridging trial, the decision has been taken in order to accelerate the pace of coverage of vaccine. But let's see how it happens, because I don't see them coming very soon to India.
I think what you said there was key to this whole discussion, that it's an enabling provision. So yeah. Basically, the details of it are yet to be chalked out, and how much of what vaccine we are getting is something that we will have to wait and watch, right?
Yes.
So, Tina, have you spoken to Serum Institute or Bharat Biotech, or is there any update from them? How are they viewing this development?
We know that Serum needed a bridging study and Bharat Biotech needed a full trial in any case. So any addition to the current vaccination efforts will ease the load for the two vaccine makers. But we have to wait and watch what happens on the government or private procurement of the vaccines. Also, Serum has other things to worry about. In this case, there is a clotting problem which is already going on. So they are obviously worrying about those issues. Just see that, you know, this will obviously ease a lot of load from these two vaccine manufacturers, which are otherwise trying to ramp up production.
Fair enough. Nidhi, just to get a perspective from the government side, is there a possibility of giving these vaccine manufacturers marketing authorization so that they are, they can freely market the vaccine in the market, or the government would continue to control the process? What is the sense you are getting? And by when do we expect vaccination to be open to all? I mean, this is the most important and personal question all of us have right now.
Yeah. So as far as market use authorization is concerned, see, that looks very unlikely right now. Market use authorization for a vaccine which hasn't gone through the rigors of testing, you know, usually all of us, you know, this is a very oft repeated line by the government that, you know, we are living in extraordinary times, and you and I know that extraordinary times means extraordinary measures. So this is exactly why when a vaccine really takes at least a few 3 to 4 years to develop, right now we're looking at very approval processes which have been eased. But at the same time, market use authorization means that the government is absolutely sure of its efficacy, of its side effects, and can actually allow you to buy off the shelf. That looks very difficult as of now, because these haven't been, you know, the rigorous process of testing, of going through all phases of trial. These vaccines haven't really gone through that. So that's exactly why, you know, the key is in the name, emergency use authorization. So that is exactly why this is emergency, and that is why it is being used under these kind of circumstances. Highly doubt that we can see any market use authorization as of now. Very difficult to know what happens later in a couple of months down the line. And your another question was, what happens when does it become available to one and all? The government seems to be following this age-appropriate policy, looking at mortality rates, looking at the caseload and everything. So here it seems as if it wants to continue with the age-appropriate vaccination strategy, where they open up gradually, like say they did from 45 with comorbidities, then from April 1 all above 45. Then the way the government is going, I would think that they would still push the 45 bracket a little lower and say that, okay, now more younger population. But for us to see like all adults getting vaccinated, the government has a lot of other, you know, parameters to look at. The supply being a major thing. Also, at the same time, the government has always maintained that we don't need to vaccinate everybody. So we don't to reach the levels of immunity that we need for is either people get infected or they get vaccinated. So they believe that, you know, say 60% of the population is covered by vaccines. We are really okay.
Yeah, just to add to it.
Yes, Tina.
You know, the aim of vaccination drive, according to government, is to administer the vaccine to those who need it and not those who want it. So they have always maintained that, you know, this is to prevent deaths and protect the healthcare system. And the aim is not to administer the vaccine to those who want it. So they have always maintained that. And I don't think that they are going to open it for, you know, for everyone in the market very soon.
But don't people who want it also need it? I mean, if we need to reach that stage where the pandemic can be controlled, Tina, give us a perspective. I mean, we've been hearing all sorts of predictions based on the two vaccines that have already been rolled out on by when we will reach that stage where this pandemic can actually be controlled. Now, with these additional vaccines coming in, what is the timeline looking like? I mean, I understand the government's stance, but when can we reach that threshold level where we can confidently say that at least we have been able to curb the spread of pandemic?
Rachita, it's a very difficult question to answer. I think nobody knows about what will happen next. Only thing is that we'll see more vaccines coming in, but still we are not in that comfortable position to open it for all. So we'll have to see, in coming days, we'll see Sputnik, then we'll see maybe like Pfizer. But I don't see this happening very soon. It will still take some time. Then we'll have Zydus, Cadila vaccine, which may come in like May or June. So this will ease out, but I don't think that the government is going to open it up for everyone, because this will lead to hoarding or this will lead to black marketing. And at this stage, government doesn't want it to happen.
That's a concern which obviously the government will have to bear in mind before making any move on this. But from what you ladies are saying right now, it's clear that we still have to mask up, we still have to take precautions, and we still have to wait for our turn to come. So thank you so much, Nidhi. Thank you so much, Tina.
Thanks, Rachita.
Thank you, Rachita.
India has taken a big step towards getting more vaccines, but a bigger challenge lies in negotiating their prices and getting supply commitments. The country will be in queue for supplies behind those that already have purchase agreements in place with vaccine makers. While the government works out the details and scales up the vaccination program, the only thing we can do is stay safe while we wait. That's all from us for now. I'm Rachita Prasad, and you've been listening to The Morning Brief. This episode was edited by Shashwat Mohanty and coordinated by Bhavya Dilip Kumar. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. We look forward to your feedback. Write to us at themorningbrief@timesgroup.com. And if you like this episode, please do share on social media. The Morning Brief airs every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a great day.
Avaaz.com.